Roundtable Podcasts, underwritten by Proctors, the Capital Region's premier performing arts center featuring the best in entertainment from Broadway and around the globe. Proctors.org.
Mud Season is a great book. It chronicles Ellen Stimson's transition from city life to a Vermont farmhouse. When she decides she wants to own and operate the old-fashioned village store in Dorset, population 2036, last count, one of the oldest continually operating country stores in the country, she learns the hard way that improvements are not always welcomed warmly by folks who like things just the way they've always been. The book asks the question, can the city-fied newcomer turn the tide of mistrust before she ruins the business altogether? Ellen Stimson will be at Northshire Bookstore in Saratoga on Saturday night at 7 p.m. She joins us in Studio A this morning to talk about Mud Season, and it's a great pleasure. Thank you very much for being with us.
Good morning. Thank you for having me.
It's a delight to have you here. This book is, it was an awful lot of fun. It's a lot of fun to read. I'm just a few steps away from Dorset, and so reading about the area of which I'm close to is always fun as well. But what were you thinking?
It was way more fun to write than it was to live, let me tell you.
There's some things that go through mine, which are, you know, how many locals are there left in Dorset?
It's interesting. When you talk about locals, are you talking about Vermonters or are you talking about locals? Most of our folks were either second homeowners or they've come from away. They've come from somewhere else. Yeah. The true Vermonters sort of live a little bit further out from Dorset.
Right. So did that surprise you coming into it? And did because the people and the situations that you describe seem to be of a people that are very set in their ways, which is sort of the quintessential Vermont rap, if you will.
Well, we moved to Vermont and we take on the traits we believe it has, I think. You know, everything was a surprise to me. I mean, we came from 1,000 miles away and it all looked like one happy little blue state that loved ice cream. And we managed to pick perhaps one of the most conservative towns in the state from 1,000 miles away.
Yeah. And so you come in and the idea was, and your background was?
I'd been in the book business. I'd owned book wholesaling companies. Library Wholesaler was the last one.
Okay. So running a country store, not
goofy,
you know,
right? Goofy decision. Right. We had been tourists, and so I sort of thought I was buying the Vermont country store. You know, I mean, that was my experience of a country store. We had sold our business, we were writing out a non-compete, and we didn't want our kids to think we didn't have a work ethic. So we could have just sat there and done nothing for a couple of years till that non-compete was up. But we didn't want to do that. And we thought buying the old country store seemed like the most romantic thing in the world to do. I thought I was buying a tourist attraction. Unfortunately, the town thought I was buying their grocery store.
Yeah. And it should be said, anyone that goes to Dorset or knows Dorset, when you look at that store, it is quintessential.
Gorgeous.
I mean, it is the quintessential New England country store that you would think of from decades ago.
You bet. It had been humming along, Joe, since 1817. It had these gleaming wooden counters, big jars of licorice on the counter, and a little bell above the door. It didn't look at all like the kind of thing that could ruin you.
So the problem was when you say, okay, I'm going to put my stamp on it. I'm going to do the things that that I want to do just, you know, to freshen it up, to make it your own, as you would. And I assume, and it seems in reading the book, that you went into this with an idea of, okay, well, you don't want to tamper with success, yet you want to put your own mark on it.
Again, I thought I bought a tourist store. And so, you know, there was this alpaca farm not far up the road, and they had the most glorious socks you've ever seen in your life. Purple and emerald green and ruby red. And they were $35 a piece, which was a bit of a problem. And I spent about $3,000 on them and put them in the front of the store.
They're so soft.
They're so soft. And I put them in the front of the store. But the problem was the front of the store was where the bread was. And the town really just wanted their bread to be where it had always been.
So how do you find that out? Because the people are quite vocal. I mean, it's not like they're hiding it.
Well, no, but they're very polite. You know, Vermonters are polite, and they don't always say exactly what they mean. So in the beginning, folks were saying, oh, you moved the bread. And I would smile and say, but look at these great socks. I ran into my banker a few weeks after this was going on, and business had slowed way down. It was mud season. I thought that was the reason. And my banker was the one who finally said to me, you know, pulling his face, I had to kind of pull it out of him. He kept saying, how is everything, Ellen? And I said, oh, it's fine. It's great. It's mud season. And he said, but how are you? Like, you know, maybe I had cancer. And I said, no, really, Andy, we're fine. And finally he said, how's the bread? Now, you know, what do you say when someone asks you how your bread is?
Yeah.
You know, fluffy, crusty. And eventually I realized we were having two different conversations. And he said to me, Ellen, I think what you have on your hands here is a bread boycott.
The interesting thing that kept on going through my mind while I was reading this is, and this had to have been going through your mind too, well, there really isn't any other place to go. I mean, you know, there's not a lot of options.
Well, there's Manchester, which is only about 10 minutes away.
Yeah, but it's not your town. You know what I mean?
Yeah. But when you have annoyed the whole town, they don't mind driving the 10 minutes.
Yeah. So were you able to differentiate between them not liking the store and them not liking you?
I think it was all wrapped up together. You know, yeah. I think it was hard. I mean, we came in this sort of very excited, you know, we also decided to homeschool our son right after we got there, which seemed like a fun, romantic part of moving to Vermont to me. And to the town, it was an insult to their school. So it was just sort of one thing on top of the other.
Yeah. So give us a timeline. At what point did you realize, you just mentioned the conversation with the banker, at what point did you realize you were in quote-unquote trouble?
Well, I knew I was in over my head after that conversation with the banker, and I found out we had a bread boycott.
And that was how long after you had taken over the business?
We'd been there for a few months.
Okay.
And we only owned the store for 3 years, so it was a pretty short, you know, as I say, it had been humming along since 1817, and I managed to pretty much run it straight into the ground in just 3 years. So it didn't take very long.
Once it started to slow down, what were your attempts to try to bring it back?
Oh, gosh. Well, you know, I moved the bread back.
That'd be number one.
Too move little, too back. Late. You know, we had this idea about a town-wide parade, and we started selling take-home suppers, and we would cook outside in front of the store. And, you know, so we were doing all of these Vermont-y things. But again, I had bought the town grocery store, not a tourist store. And I just couldn't sort of get that through my head. You know, the difference between living in the country and living in the city is that in the city, you might not have any privacy because you live right up close to each other.
Right.
But you have all the anonymity in the world. And in the country, we have all the privacy in the world. I can stand out on my balcony in my white gauzy nightgown and nobody cares because nobody can see me. But anonymity, we don't have. If you do something outside of your yard, everybody knows about it 5 minutes later. I hadn't owned the store very long when the governor came in. And I thought, oh, the governor, I'll get press. This will be great. This will help the store. And I was very excited. I'd never met a governor in my old life, you know, but in Vermont, tiny state, you meet the governor.
Yeah.
I came out and I shook hands with him. I was so excited. And I said, hello, governor. Hi, I'm Ellen Stimson. And he said, well, hello, nice to meet you. Ellen Stimson, aren't you the gal whose kid peed on his teacher's chair? What do you say to that? Yes, that's me.
How do you think that reached Montpelier?
I have no idea. I mean, he was in Dorset walking around town, you know, so somebody told him.
Wow. So did you, you keep on saying, and it was something that's in the book about how you, you know, you thought you were buying a tourist store. So was there a point where you say, okay, well, let's embrace that and let's make it into a tourist store? I mean, there are tourists in the region. It makes sense. As you mentioned, Manchester is nearby. So, okay, we'll go with that.
Sure. And then, you know, we had that terrible problem with the stock market and folks stopped coming to New York or to Vermont for about a year.
Yeah.
We had a terrible problem. A lot of the second homes went up for sale. And so I picked the worst time to decide to start a tourist store. And I tried to move back and forth and be a grocery store, and that didn't work. At the same time, we were absolutely loving our new lives in Vermont. We loved living closer to the natural world. Vermont is one of the most beautiful places on the planet. And so, you know, it was the reason we called it, I called the book Mud Season, is because it is sort of that juxtaposition between all that glorious natural beauty and this life we loved and the terrible mess I made of it when we first got there.
when ultimately, was there a giving up? I mean, what was the giving up discussion like?
Well, all of my friends were saying to me, you've got to get out of this store. You've just got to get out of it. And a dear friend of mine, his name is Roger Questel, was the sort of the hammer every time he talked to me. He said, try and sell the store, try and sell the store. And I was starting another business, trying to do other things to make money while this was all falling apart. My husband, bless his heart, was back there running the store. I'm married to the most private guy in the world. And he was in this, you know, sort of very public aquarium where a new fish died every day. And I was in New York, and we had taken to calling it the Alamo, and he would sign his emails to me, Love Davy. And he sent me an email called Pelcher's Last Day, Love Davy. The Coke guy had come to take the Coke cooler. We couldn't pay the bills. He was begging them to leave the Coke, and he said, baby, we got to sell this. And we did.
Yeah. Do you know how it's doing now?
Oh, these two women bought it. They've done a great job with it. One of them is from the area. She's a Vermonter, so I think that's part of the trick. But they've done a beautiful job.
Okay.
I love shopping there. Can I just tell you, I drive by and I'm so relieved that it's not mine.
So where do you think, I mean, you, there's such a self-deprecating fabric that runs through the book. And I assume, though, that... you know, I don't want to say the failure word, but I mean, you get over that of feeling that way?
Well, I had a real crisis of confidence for a while, you know? I mean, it was the first business failure I had ever had. And yet I am a person who has sort of spent my life thinking things are either wonderful or hideous. I have a wide emotional range. And so even when I'm in the middle of the hideous, I'm looking for how this might turn into a funny story.
Is the book being sold in the store now?
It is not. But, you know, they're a grocery store. They're not a bookstore. One of the best bookstores in America is just a couple of miles away, the North Shire bookstore.
Right, which you'll be at their Saratoga location.
And I'll be there. Yeah. Right, I'll be there. And they've done a great job with it.
Okay. So, I was just wondering. Do you know, have locals embraced the book?
Well, you know, I was on book tour right after it came out. I was gone for 2 months. I was in 38 cities in the following 6 weeks. So I got to miss that whole first flush. But we had a launch party at North Shire and in Manchester, which is about 5 minutes from 10 minutes from my house. And we had 150 people there who were just gloriously happy to be there. Folks who were in the book wore buttons that said what page they were on in the book, which was
that's very cool.
Delightful surprise to me. And people have been very kind.
Yeah. So what's next? Has the success of the book surprised you?
It has been a blast. I've had so much fun with this. It's sort of the great surprise of my middle age. The new book is called Good Grief, and I sold that to Norton a few months ago, and that comes out in October.
Excellent. And that is about?
Good Grief. You know, I haven't talked about this new book very much. So I'm still learning the language. But Good Grief. Good Grief is sort of the moment right after somebody says, what next? Good Grief.
Gotcha. Ellen Stimson will be at the North Shire Bookstore in Saratoga, New York on Saturday night at 7 o'clock for a reading and signing, and always a great time. You can find out more at northshire.com or on our website, wamc.org/roundtable. Again, the event is Saturday night at 7 o'clock. The name of the book is Mud Season. Ellen Stimson, thank you so much for being with us. Have a great time.
Thanks for having me.
Always a pleasure. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.